Thank you, Brother Bill. Choir. Praise God. I love that song, but you know, there's sometimes in my life where I really can't imagine. Amen. I just can't. God is a good God, and boy, He has certainly blessed me, and I am so unworthy. And I think about in my life people that have had influence on me in my life. And there's been pastors, and there's been friends, and my parents, my brother, and my brothers and my sisters have had just a huge influence in my life. And all of us, if we think about it, there's been people through the years that have made an impact in our lives, that have had influence on our lives. And this morning, I want to look at just a simple passage. You know, this passage, we all, if you've been a Christian a long time, and you probably learned this passage in VBS. I am a simple guy, I'm going to tell you. It's okay, you can laugh at that if you'd like. Thank you. But I believe that there's so many nuggets in this passage. So the question today is, influenced, which we've all been influenced, okay? Or are you influential? Because I believe as Christians, that's the thing today. That's what I want us to focus on. In our walks, are we influential? Do we have an impact on those around us? Because we should. If we're not, we should. And hopefully through this, and I'm going to challenge, there's a couple of challenges in here, and you know me, we're going to have a little bit of fun. But I really want us to focus on whether or not we're influential. Because I've said it before. Look. People out there, they need us to come alive in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we package everything in this little bitty box, and we keep God in this box until we really need Him. And then we dig into that box. You know, most of the time, God explodes the lid off of that box, really. So I want you to think about, are you influential today? You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus had this encounter. Jesus attended a power lunch in the city of Jericho with a character named Zacchaeus. And the Bible doesn't record exactly what Jesus said to Zacchaeus, but after this power lunch, I promise you, Zacchaeus was never the same again. So we're going to look in a passage in Luke 19. If you're not already there, go ahead and turn to your Bibles to Luke 19. If you're using the Pew Bible today, it's on page 966. Before I read God's Word, I want to pray. God, we love You. Thank You for this day, and Lord, Father, this is a passage we should all be familiar with, God, but as Lord, as time's gone by, there's things in there, Father, that we can really apply. Lord, Your Word is applicable from Genesis to Revelation. God's stories that are familiar to us, sometimes we just let go by the wayside, but today I pray that You'll speak through Your Word today. God, I pray for all of our hearts to be open and honest and transparent, first and foremost, with You today. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. We see Jesus visits with Zacchaeus in this passage. In verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, "He's gone to lodge with a sinful man." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much." "Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus was anything but righteous. Anything but righteous. In fact, the guy was really a crook. Okay? He was despised and hated because he was a tax collector. And at the time, Roman ruled the nation of Israel and demanded heavy taxes of all the people. You know, tax collectors were not only forced people to pay these taxes, but they overcharged these people, okay? And what they did, they'd overcharge people in the community for the taxes, and then they'd gather them and keep that for themselves. And really, the citizens could do nothing about it because the tax collectors were in the Roman government. You know, Jewish tax collectors in the day were despised by the Romans, who hired them to do their dirty work and considered them traitors by their fellow Jews. You know, a tax collector, again, could grow rich, but he was an outcast to society. So my first point this morning, as we pull some things out of this passage in Luke 19, our first point this morning is that Jesus is the attraction. We see that Jesus is the attraction in this passage. You know, Zacchaeus was seeking some answers. He was seeking truth about life and meaning for his existence. And Jesus said, or Zacchaeus, I'm getting those two mixed up, aren't I? They are different, I promise you. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus knew who he was, okay? He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he was an outcast to society. In all honesty, he knew that he was a cheat, okay? Yet at the same time, he was a seeker. He was seeking something. He wasn't satisfied with the way his life was working. And he'd heard about Jesus, and there was something about Jesus as Jesus came through town that attracted Zacchaeus to him. And finding out about Jesus might have been scary to him, I can just imagine, okay? But it caught his attention. And really, listen, church, it's the same way today. It's the same way today. People want to see who Jesus is. There are seekers out there that know that Jesus is the attraction, especially when we let that light shine in our lives, okay? They want to know, is Christianity for real? Is Christianity authentic? It sounds sort of weird. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, if you're an outsider, and I'll be honest, I was like that when I was young. Who is this man that can take some loaves of bread and a few fish and feed a multitude of people? I mean, think about it. That's kind of weird. Society looks at us and wonders, who's this Jesus that you worship that can touch somebody and heal them? I mean, it is. For outsiders, we've got to understand that as Christians and as the church, that outsiders think that we are different. We are weird. And if you think about it, it kind of is. We're putting our faith and we worship something that we cannot see. But we know the power, don't we? We know the power. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't because of the crowd. He was a short person, and the people were blocking his view. So I want to think about this for a minute, okay? So we have Zacchaeus. He's wanting to check out this Jesus that's coming through town. He's a tiny, wee little man, and we'll get to that in a moment. He's short, so people in front of him are blocking his view, okay? So I want you to, my first challenge today, think about this. In your own lives, maybe as a church, maybe you're part of a group or an organization in our community that shines the light of Jesus Christ on the community. But I want you to think about this. What sort of things do you think are the biggest view blockers, like Zacchaeus had, or the biggest turnoffs for seekers, for outsiders, for people that don't know Jesus Christ, as they look at the Christians around them? And that may be you here. You may be one that can make a huge impact on people and be influential. But maybe there's some things in your life. Maybe you say one thing and do another. Maybe you say things that you shouldn't and cuss like a sailor. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm just challenging everyone here. And like I say all the time, I wish I could put a big mirror right here because I'm in the same boat. I put my pants on one leg at a time like you do. So I know there's things through this. You better believe God's been beating me up about some things that I, in my life, that may be blocking people to come to know Jesus Christ. And one of them is boldness with the gospel. Boldness with the gospel is something in my life. Okay, but I wonder sometimes if our Christian cliques and our stained glass fortresses may keep people out rather than welcoming them in. You know, we're comfortable. we're comfortable, period. And we shouldn't be. We should be uncomfortable every day of the week. Sunday mornings, we come and we worship. How often do we bring friends? We're a hindrance and a view blocker just from not inviting people to church. You know, to really be an asset, we talk about living our lives the way that Jesus did and applying God's radical truth to our lives and sharing the good news of Jesus with people. Okay? But I want to ask, does your life match up with your message? Does your life match up with your message? You know, here's a great test. Think about this in your day-to-day lives, okay? The things that, you know, the particular activity that you're a part of, if Jesus was sitting across from you at the table or next to you, wherever you may be, would you still do that same thing, okay? Would you still say or do the same thing if Jesus was right there next to you? If the answer is yes, go for it, okay? But if it's not, listen, that could be a warning sign. So I want to challenge you as I end this first point this morning with this. What in your life, in your relationship with Christ, is attractive enough to draw people closer to Jesus Christ, okay? To draw people closer to you, and then you can share the gospel with them. What are you saying or what are you doing to draw people that are seeking Jesus Christ closer to Him? That's a big challenge. That's a big challenge. Second point this morning. Not only do we see that in this passage with Zacchaeus that Jesus was attractive, and He still is today. Nothing's changed. Jesus is also a seeker. Jesus is a seeker Himself. You know, this is the story of Zacchaeus is pretty amazing. Remember, he wasn't just any old tax collector. He was the manager of all the tax collectors in Jericho. He was a man of great wealth, and yet when he heard the news of Jesus coming, he really acted like a little kid. He ran and climbed up a tree so he could see. Okay, I want to just get this out of the way. I know as I study this, this song kept going through my head, and some of y'all are thinking the same thing, so let's just go ahead and sing it. You ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He climbed a sycamore tree. Wow, we tanked that at the end there. I would sing, but you really don't want to hear me sing, okay? Man? Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we got that out of the way. He was a wee little man, all right? So he ran and climbed up a tree so he could see. This is a concept, again, that we should all remember. Even after we've become Christ followers, and some of us for 30, 40, 50 years, okay, we can become too concerned with our own importance, and we think we are too dignified to follow Him wholeheartedly. Sometimes when life is good to us, think about this. Think about this in our own lives. Sometimes when life's good, things are going well financially, family's healthy, job's going well, friends are awesome. Sometimes we put Jesus in a box. It's as if we don't need Him. Sometimes we need to go back to that point and that place in our lives where we first got saved and think about how radical that was. Even at 6 or 7 or 8, I know for me, I was in my late 20s. I had a radical, radical change in my life. Sometimes I've got to think about that. And understand and realize it was not about me. It was about Him. Look, sin is fun. Did I just say that? But it is. So sometimes when we get in our lives where we're stumbling and we're struggling with things, we've got to go back to that point where we came into a relationship with Jesus Christ and remember how He radically changed us. Okay? Zacchaeus didn't care what others thought of him. He was only concerned about seeing Jesus. He knew he needed a change in his life. He knew he needed to repent. He knew he wasn't living life for the Lord. He wanted to see Jesus. He was concerned about seeing Jesus. Fast forward a couple of pages in your Bibles to Acts 17. I purposely didn't put the scripture on the slides today because I wanted to hear those pages turning. Acts 17, verses 26 and 27. Listen to this. From one man he has made every nation of men to live all over the earth, and he and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. Verse 27, so they might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You see, whether we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ or not, God is never far from any single one of us. You know, it's funny how Jesus just happened to walk under the exact tree Zacchaeus had chosen. When we come to Jesus, we tend to think that we have found God. Now listen, church, we tend to think we have found God. This is really kind of funny because in reality, it's God who finds us. Okay? We blunder along with this dim idea that we need him when all along he is at our elbow. God is always there. He is always present. Got to understand that. Just as Jesus walked under that sycamore tree, God has strategically placed people in our lives as well. Okay? Each of our lives. And he's given these people nudges, okay, to come to Christ. And God wants to use us. We've got to understand that. As a Christ follower, do you really realize that you might be that strategic person for someone else? That's why we've got to have eyes for seekers, just like Jesus did. Jesus was a seeker. He was seeking those lost around him. Okay? Jesus had eyes to see the hurting and seeking people around him. He noticed Zacchaeus and so many others because of one thing, because people mattered to him. So my challenging question is, do people really matter to you? Honestly. When people come and share things at your workplace or in the community, Walmart or Dodge's. They have some great chicken strips, by the way. Probably not very good for you. Wherever you may be, when people share things with you, do you act like you really care? Because that's what it's all about. We're in this life not to go through it alone. God created all of us to have fellowship with one another. And I just want to challenge you today. People around you that are hurting, do they know that you care? If that means an extra phone call, a letter in the mail, a text message if you do that. Everybody texting here? You see what I mean though? Jesus had eyes to see the hurting and seeking people around him because people mattered to him. You know, I believe many times we miss opportunities to introduce people to Jesus simply because we don't even notice them. We don't even notice them. Sometimes maybe God's brought, and I know I'm speaking for myself here, God's brought people into my life, and once, you know, and I'm busy doing this and busy doing that, or even saying this and saying that, and I don't even see that person come into my life until after the fact. But then there's also been times God has beat me over the head with that. Said, listen, you need to call that guy. You need to go visit that young man. So we've always got to be looking for opportunities. We need to ask God to give us lenses like Jesus, okay, to be a seeker. Invite God to open your eyes and maybe you begin to see that Zacchaeus perched in a sycamore tree, okay? Well, listen, hold on, let me back. If you walk under a tree and somebody's sitting on it waiting for you, I'd run. But, okay, you know my point with that. That was an illustration, okay? You know, or maybe it's next to you in the office or sitting across from you in a classroom or a grocery store, or maybe the gym or maybe the ball field. There's a Zacchaeus in your life somewhere. I promise you. God will guide you, okay? Listen, it's easy once we accept Christ to decrease our circle of friends who don't know Jesus. And honestly, there may be a need for us to get out of some relationships, okay? Maybe relationships that we have in our life, especially as new believers sometimes, may not be compatible with our life in Jesus Christ. You know, our closest connections need to be with people who will build us up in the faith. That is true. But we still need to have relationships with those people around us who are seeking. Okay? Now listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm not pointing anyone out. I'm just going to use this as an illustration, okay? But you can put anything in this blank. I'm just going to use this for an illustration. You know, listen, we can't say I'm building with a relationship with a seeker as I go and have a drink somewhere and belly up to the bar, okay? If we're joining in that sort of lifestyle in order to connect with people, they're not going to change.
Believe you me, I've seen this happen more than once. We will change.
Okay? They will most likely not change. We will. But at the same time, we've got to learn. Listen, we've got to learn to build bridges of integrity with those who don't know Jesus Christ. Now, what do those bridges of integrity look like? I said it earlier. You know, maybe doing what you say you're going to do. You know, if lost people are in our lives and they look at us and they look at us for guidance and we tell them we're going to do something, and I don't know what that may be. Think about that. I don't know what that may be in your life. Do it. Do it. If you say you're going to do something, do it. You know, maybe it's honesty and integrity. You know, maybe it's calling someone out when they're doing something absolutely wrong. Maybe it's another Christian that you know that's doing some things in their life that's affecting lost people because they're really not walking the walk. They're just talking the talk. Call them out. It's biblical. It's called biblical discipline. Okay? In addition, listen, we can never look at seekers with assaulting eyes. Some people think that sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is a contest. The more people that they drag into church, the more rewards they're going to get. You know, you may know some people like this. Oh, there's another notch in the old evangelism belt. It's not about that, okay? Ha! I got another one. It's not about that. Listen, if this is your attitude, believe me, people are going to see it a mile away. Sharing the good news of Jesus is about letting God's love flow through us, all right? It's not about us at all. It's not about how many people we lead to Christ. It's not. It's about sharing the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us and earnestly caring about people. Caring about people. Look, people, there's some people that are just mean, okay? There's some people that are just haters. There's some people that are whiny. You know, that you just can't get along with. I understand that. But that doesn't give us an out not to minister to them. Does that make sense? Look, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. All right? We've got to sometimes take that step of faith and pour into people that we don't want to. Okay? We have to share the good news, not thinking about ourselves or our rewards, but rather focusing on the true needs of those around us. You know, if we list the characteristics of Jesus Christ, it may read something like this. Love. Jesus was all about love. Grace. Power. Strength. Forgiveness. Savior. We all know those characteristics, don't we? But I wonder, listen, this morning, I wonder how many times we remember that Christ was also a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. When we read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we'll see again and again that Jesus was criticized for associating with sinners. He didn't join them in their sinful lifestyles, though. He loved them and showed his love for them in a real and a personal way. And so should we. If we say we have the mind of Christ, if we say we're disciples of Jesus Christ, then we need to be practicing the biblical truths that we see about being like Christ. And one of them is loving sinners. This morning, can you call yourself a friend of sinners? Or are you an avoider of sinners? Or maybe you're just a sinner. If we live our Christian lives just soaking in the good stuff, we're going to become spiritually waterlogged at some point in time in our lives. If you want to see joy and excitement, and if you want to see thrills, step out of your comfort zone and share some of your faith and reason for hope with those around you. Listen, go ahead. Pray for boldness, okay, to talk to that person who is dishonest that you know, or maybe a little bit antisocial, throwing their life down the drain, or maybe somebody, again, that's just downright mean and evil. But on the flip side, how about that good person? Huh? How about there's people out there that are great people. You know them. You know that one kind I just talked about. But we all know those good, solid people.
But there's going to be a lot of good people in hell.
Share with them as well. Listen, I want to take just a couple of minutes. We're going to come back after this. I'm going to finish with the third point. But I want you to take a look at a video, okay, that just kind of shows us how hard it is, how easy it is to share with people around us.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
First off, just let me say, I was wondering if maybe, you know, you would... Whew! Boy, this is so...
awkward. I just need to say it. And so I will say it. Here goes. What I'm trying to say is... Are you using your stapler? Okay, so church goes way back. Don't you just love the intimate details of history?
Hey, Tom. Nothing. What? See ya.
You have things to do, don't you? I'm sorry. I'm overwhelming you, aren't I? Are you overwhelmed?
I mean, there's many different kinds of churches.
I didn't even want to talk to the woman. I mean, on and on and on she went. Like, get to the point already.
The reformers were mad, extremely mad. All right, okay.
I'm sorry, okay. I mean, thank you, but... Hey.
So then, there he was. Paul Revere. Standing right there. Couldn't believe it. Turns out later it was a costume.
I don't know why I'm so nervous. But enough about my therapist.
I'm being pushy, aren't I? I hate pushy people. I'm sorry. Am I offending you?
So I told them, shave your beards. Now.
So that's, you know, that's where the church is, but that's far from you, isn't it? Oh, man, and then you'd have to pay for gas. I mean, and gas prices, that's rough.
So then they were like, we'll settle Texas. You try and talk to those natives.
I mean, I didn't plan, you know, what I was going to say to you. I mean, that would be creepy. You know, helpful, but I mean, creepy. I know, probably, you know, what you're thinking, you know, back off, pushy person. But I mean, I don't mean to be pushy. I want to, you know, share with my heart.
Yeah, he's right here. Hey, Tom, you want to come with us to church on Sunday? We'll pick you up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Great. He's in.
Oh, no, I hate this.
I wonder how many of us have been... Sometimes I know that it can be awkward. It can. But listen, think about what he's done for you. The blood that was shed on the cross is one thing. You know, we always talk about that. And we wouldn't be if that wouldn't have happened. But in your lives, think about the great things that he has done for you. Also, look at the times that were hard in your relationship with him. But after all that happened, think about the good things that happened. You know what I mean? I mean, that should be, our testimony should be something that we share freely with people. We should seek the seekers. Jesus did. You know, and I think one thing, we've got to invite our friends to church and our coworkers and our neighbors. And that video was funny and it's awkward. And, you know, I thought, should I show that? Well, I did. Okay. But listen, something that, as an outreach guy and ed guy, I just want to help you out a little bit. Now, this is tiny, small, little, okay? But we've created some business cards that today are going to be available on the tables out in the front foyer. They're in the information center and the table underneath on the brick wall out here or the rock wall. And we're going to make these available till we run out of them, and then we're going to create some more, okay? But these are simple little business cards. If you have a tough time inviting people to church, whether it's a coworker or a friend, the lady at Sweet Peas or the guy at Walmart, this may help a little bit. It's not a gimmick, okay? It gives church information. And then on the back side, what we've done is we've put three lines to where you can, gives information about our church, worship times and everything, but it gives you three lines that you can write your name, maybe a scripture verse, a phone number, and just kind of use this as an outreach tool for those around you, okay? So you guys pick some up. There's plenty available out in those locations that I mentioned. Maybe this will help you not have an awkward moment, okay? Okay, so Jesus was attractive. He is attractive. He is a seeker. And also point three, and the last one we'll close, Jesus is a change agent. Jesus is also a change agent. I want to ask you this morning, what changes have you made personally and publicly as a result of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Zacchaeus, we see, had a change of heart. And this change immediately affected his public life. You know, right there in front of everyone, he acknowledged that he had sinned and promised to make it right. Zacchaeus didn't just make an intellectual assent to the truth. You know, he had faith with shoes on that day. And it's the same for all of us today. If Jesus has changed your life, then people will be able to see it. If your faith is for real, if your faith in Jesus Christ is for real, then people will be able to see it. Okay? Other people around you will be able to see that love and that passion and that conviction and that concern for them flowing from your life into theirs. But listen, they should also be able to see your clay feet too. And this is important. Okay? The flaws will show. But they should also see you. Okay? If we're open and transparent with people, what I'm saying is they're going to see our flaws too. And church, listen, it's okay for the world to see that we're not perfect. It is okay. I would rather come across somebody that's real and transparent, open and honest, than somebody that's fake. And I know the world would, because I was there. I was there. That's what kept me out of the church, was people that would say one thing and do another. That were as fake as the day was long. And it took somebody named Stephanie coming into my life, being real and authentic with me. Of course, God was working in my life. He used her. Okay, so listen. The flaws are going to show, but they should also see us humbly acknowledging these flaws. And they will see Jesus in the way that you act and react. And we've got to understand that, be mindful of that. Look, if people are surprised if they find out or when they eventually find out that you're a Christian, then it's really time for self-examination. We all get comfortable in our easy lifestyles and we don't like to be shaken up. Amen? Sometimes we resist changing our behavior or our friends. But listen, if you'll let yourself be shaken a little, you might begin to notice the seekers around you. In other words, when you have the lenses that God has, you're looking through the same lenses that Christ does to people, okay? As you build relationships and live to showcase Christ in your life, you're going to come alive like never before, I promise you. Give it a chance. If it's been years since you shared your faith, or maybe you've never shared your faith, give it a chance today. Be bold with the gospel. Let's be honest. Real living for Christ can sometimes be awkward and uncomfortable, like I said earlier. But if we check out of real life because we're afraid of the hard things, we are also discarding that joy and excitement and adventure that a real and radical life with Jesus Christ can bring. We'll miss out on all the best parts. All that gives life zest and real purpose. It's not money. It's not stature. It's not how many friends you have. It's a true, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what brings life real purpose. God is calling up all of us off of our spiritual couches this morning and out into the sun and the wind to run with Him. I always joke with people that there's one thing in my life that I'm never, ever going to be able to feel again, and I got to throw this in there, and that's the wind blowing through my hair, okay? But you still have that opportunity. Most of you anyway. You know? Man, let God just take your life and run with Him. Run with Him. Who knows what He has in store? You don't ever know until you say, "Here I am, God, send me." Do that this morning, okay? Will you be a change agent in this world? Jesus was. Jesus was a change agent. Remember, Jesus is attractive. And so our walk should portray that as well. Jesus was a seeker. He was intentionally drawn to the lost. Allow your lives to be drawn to the lost. And He was a change agent. Be a change agent today in your workplaces, in your home, in your community. All right? Listen, time for invitation this morning. Simple. Maybe you've been visiting us and, you know, don't let this message, you know, if you like Dr. Kerr, he's the preacher man, okay? But maybe you've been visiting us and today may be the day that you know that this is where God has placed you and you want to become a member of our church. That's what this invitation is for this morning. Also, maybe you're in here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and everything that I said just confused you even more. Come see us this morning. We'll counsel with you and help you get closer to Christ and possibly in a relationship with Him. And the altar's open if you want to come and just pray. Maybe you're one of those people that I talked about, that you're struggling with those lost people around you. Maybe you don't know how to go about it, or maybe you know you've missed opportunities and you need to be prayed up. You can use the altar for that time as well this morning. Okay? Let's stand, and I'm going to pray, and the altar will be open. Most Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. And God, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to serve You. And Lord, I pray over our church this morning, God, that we will see that Jesus is attractive. And God, we should share Him. God, that He's a seeker and we should be seekers as well for the lost people around us, God. And give us a desire today as a church to be change agents in our community. Lord, we lift this time up to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I have heard the voice of Jesus calling clearly, follow me. No one else could ever promise life eternal and so free. All to Thee I give my all.
Here this morning, make sure as we leave today that our lives are attractive. Be seeking and going where God leads with lost people around us. Sometimes we want to make an excuse that we don't know any lost people. I bet you if you look deep enough, you're going to find lost people in your life. And also strive to be a change agent. Brother Mark Montgomery is going to pray for us. Men, if you come forward for our offering.
Father, that we just praise You for what You're doing in our church, in our community. And Father, we pray that people around us would see You shining through us, living in us. Father, just help us recognize the people You put in our path that need You, Father. I just pray that You would just give us the words to say when those opportunities arise. Father, we pray that You would take this offering, that You would use it, bless it for Your kingdom. We love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You ever stop to think about why God asks his people to give him the healthy, spotless sheep instead of the sick, stinky ones? They were just going to be sacrificed anyway, right? Is God offended by spots? Do healthy sheep make better lamb chops? I think you know the answer to that. It's not about the sheep. It's about you, and it's about your love for God. Do you love him enough to give him your first and your finest? Or do you only love him enough to give him the leftovers? Now, Frank was about to give away something that meant nothing to him when he saw his son give up something that meant a lot. You know, there's a passage in the Bible, 2 Samuel 24:24, where King David says, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God an offering that costs me nothing." You see, it's not really a sacrifice unless it's something we value. Let me put it this way. God gives us gifts. We give them to others. We're not giving. We're regifting. Now, if someone regifts to you something they didn't want in the first place, you may tell them thank you, but inside, you'd question how much you really matter to them. But if someone passes on to you a gift that they had cherished, a gift they hate to lose, but want you to have even more, that says something different. The gift reveals the heart. Reveals it to whom? Well, God already knows it all, right? He doesn't need some kind of demonstration. God wants you to see your heart and what you really love honestly. When we can only give our stinky sheep, we know our love is incomplete. God loves us too much to let us waste our lives loving lesser things. When we give our first and finest to God and to his children, then we are learning to love God as the highest, holiest thing in our life. So what about you? What sheep do you find yourself sacrificing? Do you give God the best of your time, talents, and treasures? Or do you just give him what's left over after you've taken care of everything else? The gift reveals the giver. Open up the gift, look inside. What you'll see is your heart. And whether you give your good sheep or your stinky sheep will tell you a lot about what and who you love the most.